exciting to see how nice the room in the back has come together and closed up and so bright and shiny. It's a real nice to see that the Lord has allowed that to be accomplished. Genesis chapter 12, please, and verse 1. The first verse in the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came, and Abram passing through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from hence unto the mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. And there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, Behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass that the Egyptians shall see thee, and they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, that thou art my sister, and it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And it came to pass, when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. And the princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he had treated Abram well for her sake, and he had sheep and oxen, and he asses and men servants, and maid servants, and she asses and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me she was thy wife? Why saidst thou, She is my sister? So I might have taken her to me to wife. Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. Chapter 13. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, unto the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there in the first. There Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now we know the Lord will bless the public reading of the Word of God, and we'll just kind of see how far we get in the chapter here, or wiggle over into another chapter or so. But I kind of like to look at some of the principles and teachings here that I've really enjoyed, and I trust that they might be a help and encouragement to each of us and a real reminder to myself. Now you would notice we weave through this, and I'll just kind of look at it a little bit, verse at a time some. You would notice a little phrase there, now the Lord had said. And that tells me that he had already known what God wanted him to do, and he had what I would call the hesitancy factor. I'm gonna hesitate. And sometimes, maybe it's never happened in your life, but I have to confess, sometimes I've known what the Lord's wanted me to do, and I call it the chicken gland kicks in, and I just drag my feet. Shame on me. And I'm not happy about it. And the Lord's not happy about it. And I'm not having any blessing about it. So I want to mention that the will of God in our lives will never contradict the teaching of the Word of God. That's a given. And here we find that Abram is being called, and he says, Get thee out of thy country, away from thy kindred, and unto thy father's house. Sometimes, but not always, the family ties of nature can be a hindrance to us. You would remember when you come into the vow of the Nazarite in Numbers chapter 6 that they were not to make themselves unclean for their family. We are accountable to God. And sometimes we like to say that Christians are an odd lot. Now, I might be odder than anybody here, and that's okay. But Christians are sometimes, we like to say, an odd lot because we don't really begin to live for God until we've died to ourselves. Not my will, but thy will be done. And so, as we wind through this little portion here, we find that God is looking for a separated family. And we find that he had the call before he went. And he would have what we would call a word from God. Direction from God, where to go, what to do. And the word of God reminds us it's always better to obey than to sacrifice. God longs that we might be obedient to the word of God, to his will in our lives. In fact, as we think about it, God wants the best for us. Our Heavenly Father wants the best for us and knows what's the best for us. And sometimes, maybe you've not have done it, we drag our feet thinking, how's this going to work? And we try to reason. And God says, you are saved by faith. And he says, I want you to walk by faith. So Abram here, we find as we read the word of God, that God is giving him promises. And God is going to be working in Abram's life ultimately to the ultimate test. Genesis 22, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, and to bring him on an altar. And we find as we weave through the life of Abraham that in some areas, Abram and his wife, they kind of hesitated or they sinned. God gives them the same test later on again to prove them. One of the tests we'll find here is it's going to take place 20 years later. So God may test us, allow testing or trial to come, and if I fail the course and I don't succeed the first time, God's going to bring that test across my path again. And we find here he's to leave home. And we find he's going to cut ties from family. But we find something significant here. It's partial obedience. And partial obedience is never full obedience. There was no word from God to bring Lot with him. God gave him no direction that way. It was a big step to leave. And he had told him, he departed out of Haran. Abram wasn't going to grow. Abram wasn't going to make progress for God until he left Haran behind. Sometimes in our lives, there are certain things, and they might even be perfectly legitimate things, but they hinder my growth and they hinder my development. And until I'm willing to leave them behind, I'm really not making progress like I ought to. Haran here had to be given up way before Canaan could ever be reached. The promised land could be reached. And Lot was never called. So Abram departs. And I want to stop just for a moment here. And who's traveling with him? Well, you see, he took Sarai, his wife. That's a normal thing to do. I like to teach in the North Country, and it probably never occurs in the South Country here. Sometimes up north, way up north in Canada, men go away for months at a time. And they leave the families behind and the children behind, and you watch the tears and you watch the heartache. I'm not going to be critical, but I want to emphasize the pattern. The family goes as a unit. There's preservation for the wife to be with the husband and the whole family matter to be together. And so you notice here that they left, and you notice they didn't, it doesn't say they took in verse 5 some of their substance. They took all of their substance. You know what that teaches me? They were sincere. They were really leaving and following and obeying God, and they weren't planning on going back. I've only been at a few farewells where a missionary is leaving the land for the regions beyond to serve the Lord in another field. Always an exciting time. But I told Linda one time, I says, you know what? He's going to be back. She says, how do you know that? And how can you say that? I says, it's very simple. It was stated that he stored all his stuff at his father's house. This is only a trial run. And if it doesn't work, he's got all the goods to pick up on when he comes home. The principle here is they left all behind for the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're going to find here that Abram's taking on a pilgrim character. And you and I, we're strangers and pilgrims. The world looks at me like I'm some kind of radical, fanatical nut. You might say an odd duck that I just don't fit in. Their song is different. Their interests are different. And all the ramifications. And so Abram here is making progress. And he's going on into Canaan. And as they pass through the land, we notice here there were Canaanites in the land. Abram was the first one the Lord appeared to. And notice here, the Lord appeared unto Abram. And he's giving him a progress. Sometimes you and I are going to have to leave things behind to make progress for God. Might be a very legitimate hobby, a very exciting thing to have or do, and it's always good to have a little change of pace now and then, but it possibly could captivate us so much I'm losing time for communion and growth and development or helping others in the Christian path. Notice it says the Lord appeared to Abram. Communion with the Lord. What's the most important thing in the Christian life? I want to suggest that the most important thing in the Christian life is to enjoy the Lord every day. To enjoy His Word, to have a degree of communion with the Lord, and it makes all the difference when problems and circumstances come along. And so Abram here is enjoying the Lord. And after he makes obedience and starts to move on, the Lord appears unto Abram. And there's a presence of God here, even with his enemies around. Notice what the first thing Abram does. He's getting a promise from God. I'm going to give you the land. And what's he doing? He's building an altar. Worship is very valuable. And worship in the Word of God usually always precedes service. So before Abram could begin to serve, Abram obeyed. Abram is worshiping. The pilgrim character of Abram is exemplified. And something's happening. He's there at Bethel. House of God is the meaning. And at Hai in the east. And he builds an altar unto the Lord. Public faith. Publicly be seen. And something happened now. Abram never expected. And in the Christian life, there's a lot of things that happen. A lot of things that occur, a lot of trials that come, we never expect. It's going to be a guarantee. Man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward, we read. And so Abram here, he's left Haran. He's making progress for God. He's built an altar. He's worshiping. He's at Bethel, the house of God. And all of a sudden, something happened. It says in verse 10, there was a famine. You will notice as you study the life of Abram and Abraham, that whenever he moved with a word and direction from God, he had blessing and way less problems. And every time he moved on his own, he complicated the matter and he brought problems in his life. So I suggest that he here had a famine. In the land of New Mexico that I've worked a little bit, probably 30 or 35 years ago, some of the area used to be the pinto bean capital of the world. Now it's just a town of maybe almost 1,000 people, homes that get mail. A lot of empty homes. All the car dealers have closed, only one food store, and quite a bit of drug dealing and lots of dogs on the streets. There was a famine. No rain. No water, no pinto beans grown anymore. And some of the little communities in that area that were thriving communities are dying communities today. There was a famine. Here there's a famine in the land. No food, maybe no rain, no work, however you want to develop it. What am I going to do? What should we do? What should we do when trouble comes, the job ends, the circumstances come? In everything with prayer and supplication, bring your requests unto God. Get direction from God. There's a little verse in the book of Habakkuk. I'm taking it out of context, but it's helped me a lot through the years. The answer shall come. The answer will come. Wait for it. So I want to suggest that there's a principle. When the trial comes, when the difficulty comes, it will. Different ones, different ways. It's for us to grow and develop and prove God's faithfulness, not to drive us away. We need to wait on God for direction. And Abram, as I read here, there's a famine. And what am I going to do? And he took things in his own hands. And he didn't wait on God. And really what happened here, he now has put himself in a place of no peace. Because when I take things in my own hands without God directing me, I'm losing peace. And we find also here, he lost his pilgrim character. And we also find here, he no longer had his priestly activity. The altar wasn't there. Sacrifice wasn't there. Worship wasn't there. And he began to forget the promises of calling on God, waiting on God, and seeking God. And if we feed the flesh, we lose, in some extent, our power with God. And so Abram here, he's going down in the south country without a word from God, without direction from God. He's leaving Bethel, house of God. He's leaving the altar and the sacrifices behind, and he's taking things in his own hands. And now, you know, there's a principle. One bad step always leads to another. And one lie usually always leads to another lie. And Proverbs chapter 6 says, these six things, yea, seven, doth the Lord hate. And one of them's a lying tongue. So you and I as believers, he wants integrity. He wants morals of uprightness. Because he wants us as Christians to make Christianity look great in the eyes of the world. Abram, Sarai, family, and Lot's tagging along too, but he was never called. And they're in Egypt, and Egypt's always a picture of the world. And we're to be in the world, but not of the world, because he wants us by his grace to have separated lives for his honor and for his glory. And they're getting into Egypt, and he's doing some thinking. What am I going to do? He's in the world, and he's now using the world's tactics. And he says, Sarai, you know you're a very pretty lady. And when the Egyptians see you, they're going to kill me so they can have you for their wives, for their wife. So I tell you what we do. We're going to lie. It's going to be a half-truth. You're my stepsister, half-truth. He says, tell them you're my sister. God was displeased. They thought ahead of time what they were going to do, and then they did it. You know what? The first test was to leave Haran, obey God. The second test here was, what are they going to do when there's a famine in the land? There's a number of little tests that come in Abram's life to prove God. And God brings these tests across our path sometimes to prove his faithfulness and to prove his goodness. And sometimes the answer and the deliverance doesn't come until almost the last minute of minutes, when a decision or all the ramifications have to be made. God is always faithful. And the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow thereto. And so he's promised, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. He says, I'm a stronghold in the day of trouble. Trust me. We trusted him for so great salvation, faith received, rested, relied. And he says, now, I don't want you to direct yourself anymore, John. I want you to walk by faith. I want you to have guidance. I want it to dovetail with the word of God. And I want you to learn to wait on me. Abram took things in his own hand. I'll use it in application, the assembly, goodbye. Worship and remembrance of him on the first day of the week, goodbye. I'm going to direct my steps. And it comes to pass here, the princes of Pharaoh saw that Sarai's wife was a very pretty lady too. Did you know that we can't engage in a spiritual work and warfare with carnal or sinful methods? It won't work. And Abram, he's out of fellowship with God. We can never lose our salvation, but I can break fellowship. and communion. And I can get cold, and I can take on the world's tactics. Shame on me. And so Abram here, do you know what his condition is? You say, well, it doesn't say. Well, I know what it is. He's miserable. Because one of the most miserable ones you're ever going to meet, it's somebody that's saved by its matchless grace, but he's not walking with the Lord. And the world's people are no longer his own either. And he really doesn't fit in there. Abram was miserable. The pearl of sin is the greatest pearl at times that you and I can be in. And Abram's in this pearl of sin. He's left God's will. He's left the place of worship. And now, well, this is what we've got to do. We're in Egypt. We're in the world. We've got to develop what we're going to do. So this is, we're going to pre-rehearse how we're going to lie to preserve ourselves. Couldn't God preserve? Well, of course he could. But he's already in the wrong place. But notice there's a principle here. Verse 17, I find it astounding. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. Isaac was an ordinary son. He had an extraordinary father, Abraham. And God is wanting them to learn the pilgrim view and the pilgrim journey all the way along. Abram was the man of faith. Isaac was the man of freedom. Jacob was the man of fruitfulness. And here we find that Pharaoh's house is plagued. Why is it? When you and I are out of the way or out of the will of God, or sin is reigning in our lives, that plague and that problem affects all in our path. In the assembly, if I'm out of the mind of God and I'm walking in my own way and I'm walking carnally, I'll affect the whole testimony. And so Abram here, the Lord came along and intervened and plagued Pharaoh's house. And Pharaoh calls Abram. Pharaoh's the world. But he's got sense and he's got direction and he's got discernment. And he says, what's going on here? Why did you lie to me? Why didn't you tell me that she was my wife? I might have taken her to be my wife. And I view Abram here as a, I don't know, you ever see a dog that did something wrong for its master and its tail, instead of pointing happily, is kind of half between its legs running away, sad with a frown on its face? And Abram here, he says, take your wife and go thy way. Out of here. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning them, make sure they're out of here. Move them on. And his wife and all that he had, you don't belong here. That was a very embarrassing moment for Abram and his wife and the family. Well, it could have been prevented, and all the heartache and all the sorrow and all the travel and all the cost and all the ramifications, because one bad step left to another. And we're just going to take things in our own hands and we're just going to move on ourselves. No, it won't work. I quoted already. When you get older, you can say something twice, I guess. The blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow thereto. That doesn't mean you won't have sorrows in your life. But you know the saddest of wounds in life are self-inflicted wounds that didn't have to be. Something that could have been avoided. Something that's a case, if only I had listened, if only I obeyed. And so we're up to chapter 13. And we'll just look at a few principles in the few minutes that we have here, because chapter 13 is exciting. A lot going on. But in the beginning part of it, it's a time of restoration for Abram. And Abram, I'm getting out of Egypt. This place is no good. Pharaoh's running me out. His men are running me out. And I'm all embarrassed. I don't know if his face was red or white or however you want to call it, with embarrassment. And everybody, what are you leaving for? Where are you going? We don't belong here. We've lied. He's getting away from the world and its idols, and he's going back to the living and the true God. Restoration. Did you know for a person to get saved, it takes the Spirit of God to work? to convince and convict of sin, and to open our eyes to what we read in the Word of God that the Lord Jesus did for us on the cross. But when I get away from God, I can't lose my salvation. It takes the Spirit of God to work in my life that I'll be restored to God. I can't produce it. And so Abram here, he's rich in cattle now. But separation always comes as a result of communion. And separation in our lives will become a result of communion. But you know, sometimes, and maybe it's not in your case, we can be too busy to hear His voice. And too many things going on. That's why the Word of God says, be still and know that I am God. What's Abram doing? He's going back to the starting place. That's where restoration begins. And he's going back to house of God. He's going back to Bethel. I read in Revelation, it says, thou hast left thy first love. What happened? Well, the world can come in. A lot of things can come in. And they hinder our growth and development and restoration. Abram's going back to where worship was. Abram's going back to the house of God. Can I put it in application? Abram's going back to the assembly. And I'm going to go where God is. Abram here has learned, I can't direct things myself. I need God to direct me. I need wisdom from on high. Abram had a lot of flocks, a lot of herds. It says in the Word of God, if riches come thy way, set not thy mind on them. But a constant, consistent going after them, the big king of the mountain, as it were, is going to bring problems in your life. That's a given. There's a problem with worldly riches. There's a problem with worldly wisdom. Because sometimes worldly substance brings in problems. The cross separates us from the world. And God wants us to walk not by human influences, by the influence of our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the more we sojourn and travel with God, the more we will be separated from the world and its ways. Material wealth can be used for God. Material worth can be bring problems. Abram here and a flocks and all, he's back to house of God. And there's a strife that's coming that he never expected. Verse 7. He's making progress for God. All along the way, there's going to be hidden rocks. All along the way, I don't know if you know what quicksand is in the desert here, but quicksand in some areas is like a very soft, wet sand. And if you step in it, you sink. And the more you wiggle, the more you're going down. So you need to try and lay on it and try and swim out. It'll swallow you up completely in some places. There's a strife. Abram. And notice who the strife is with. The strife there in verse 7 is between the herdmen of Abram and the herdmen of Lot. How did this happen? Well, you brought Lot. And Lot was never called. And whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And so you kind of brought the problem along, Abram. Notice Abram's words. Very valuable to get a grip and a grasp of. Let there be no strife. We be brethren. Wanted to bless him, wanted to help him, want to honor him. And so he's very wise. He says, you see the land here, Lot? You take whatever you want, because we don't want strife. You can take the plains of Jordan, the well-watered plains. You take what you want. Abram realized that strife will not profit. Come to 1 Corinthians in your mind. Chapter 1, chapter 3, there's problems, there's division, there's strife. I learn a great lesson in that epistle. Because when I come to chapter 5, there's a very serious sin of morals. And God says that that individual is to be put out of the assembly for the assembly's purity and for restoration. But why wasn't that mentioned first? Unity always comes first. And before unity was there, they couldn't have dealt with the problem. And you come to Psalm 133 and verse 1, where the saints dwell together in unity. That doesn't mean we all think exactly the same and wear the same clothes the same, but unity of purpose. We want to honor the Lord. We want to remember the Lord. We want to carry out the word of God. Many of you here probably wouldn't know a man that's in heaven now by the name of Mr. John Frith. He was a missionary in Venezuela many years ago. I think 1979, I brought him from Kamloops, B.C., up to Edmonton, Alberta, with another preacher by the name of David Richards. I says, Mr. Frith, I want to ask you a question. I've never been to Venezuela. I've heard tremendous reports of God working, souls being saved, and assemblies being planted. How does that work so? Well, he says, there are different fields where some are more fertile, but he says, I'll tell you two reasons that I believe. Number one, the saints are in unity. He says, let me ask you a question. Would God, a heavenly Father, give children to a place full of strife and difficulty that they couldn't grow well? He says, I don't think so. So I find the principle in the Word of God that strife is not of God. We're to love one another. We're to want to build up one another. We're to love one another with a pure heart fervently. And Abram, he's back, he's restored, and all of a sudden, there's a problem that came. Notice his attitude here. We be brethren. Well, my time's just about up. Lot made the wrong choice. Abram made the right choice. And so as you weave through the life of Abram, we just covered a little bit this evening, I find tests, I find lessons, I find growth, I find development. You'll find 20 years later on, Abram and Sarah is going to be tested again on a lying tongue. Because whatever we've flunked the test, God's going to give it to us again to prove him and to learn him and to prove his faithfulness to us. Let's pray. Father, we desire to thank thee for thy kind ways to us. We thank thee for the life of Abraham and some of the little lessons we've looked at of the faithfulness of thee, our God, and the obedience that thou desires that we might enjoy thee and enjoy the blessing of the Lord, and that others might take note we've been with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we ask that thou would use what was of thyself for our mutual blessing and edification. We pray for those that couldn't come tonight. We ask, Lord, thy hand upon them. Help them to be encouraged in the Lord. We ask thy healing where it's needed. And we pray, if it please thee, that thou would give us perfect safety in traveling homeward tonight and guide throughout the week. We need thee, Lord. We're in a wilderness scene. And we pray that thou would give help on the Lord's day, that in some little way we might be able to come and thank thee for thy Son and to praise thee for what thou hast done for us as we desire to come and remember him whom to know is life eternal. So we thank thee for the land and thank thee for the freedoms and bless thee for all thy care to us. In the Lord Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.